Exodus chapter 12. And our text for this morning is there in verse 21 and 22. Verse 21, then Moses called for all the elders of Israel, said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families, and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop, and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. It was to be a terrible night in Egypt. It would be midnight when the death angel would fly through the streets of Egypt and slay the firstborn in every home. What weeping and wailing would be heard as the death angel claimed his victims. No mother would ever again embrace their firstborn daughter. No father would ever again have his firstborn son labor with him in the fields. At midnight, the death knell would be sounded over Egypt as God would send his angel forth to do his bidding and slay the firstborn in Egypt. Because judgment had come to Egypt, a hard, stiff-necked people and ruler who refused to bow the knee when the other plagues were sent, to refuse to bow the knee and acknowledge the great I Am. Judgment would come that night in the form of the slaying of every firstborn. Because we know that the wages of sin, the wages of sin is death. And you look there at Exodus 11, verse 5, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maid servant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of beasts. And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it any more. You look carefully at the words we've just read. We've read all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die. All the firstborn in Egypt shall die. No, it doesn't say all the firstborn of the Egyptians shall die. It doesn't say that. But rather, all the firstborn in Egypt shall die. That included the children of Israel. They were in Egypt. And God says, all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die. All in Egypt were under the divine sentence of judgment, including the Israelites. as well as the Egyptian. But then look at the verse 7 of the chapter 11. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue against man or beast, that ye may know how that the Lord God, the Lord, doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. The Lord will put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. And that then begs the question, what was the difference? What was the difference between the Egyptians and the Israelites? Well, the answer is there in those two verses we read as our text. In verses 21 and 22, Moses told the children of Israel, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike it on the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out of the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood upon the lintel and the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door. There's the difference. The difference was the blood of the Lamb. The children of Israel would not suffer the judgment of God. Why? Because of the blood of the Lamb. There's the difference. And so it is today. So it has been. So it always will be. That when God comes to judge the world, those who will escape his judgment, those who will escape his wrath, are those who washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And it was the blood of the Paschal Lamb on the doors of every Israelite home that saved them from the judgment that dreadful night in Egypt. So let us look at what took place at the door of every Israelite home. My subject then this morning is, there's a lamb at the door. There's a lamb at the door. If the children of Israel were to be saved that night and escape God's judgment, there must be a lamb at the door. Here we see, first of all, the requirement and the lamb. God made it clear to Moses what every Israelite must do if they were to escape the judgment that night. Look at verse 3. Speak ye unto the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. You can read on down verse 5 and verse 7. And then in verse 13 we read, and the blood shall be to you for a token or a sign upon the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. So the blood was to be a sign. There was the requirement. They were to take a lamb for every house. And the lamb was to be slain, and the blood was to be shed. And God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Regarding this lamb, we see it was to be a spotless lamb. You look there at verse 5. In verse 5, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. Your lamb shall be without blemish. So that lamb was to be examined to make sure there were no blemishes, to make sure it hadn't been wounded or it wasn't lame or hadn't some disease. It was to be a lamb without blemish. That of course speaks to us of the one that John the Baptist preached that day when he said, "Behold the Lamb of God," and he was pointing to Christ. And we look at the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lamb, and he's without blemish. Peter knew all about the one who was without blemish. 1 Peter 1 verse 19, "For we're redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish." There it is. He's speaking about Christ. He's a lamb without blemish and without spot. And Paul knew the only person that could be called or referred to as one who was without blemish, Paul knew there was only one person. For Paul said, "So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." Think of them. Think of those two words, without sin. Without sin. Paul was speaking about Christ, who was without sin. Peter spoke of one who was without blemish and was without spot. So he who is without sin and who knew no sin, as Peter again said in 1 Peter 2 verse 22, he did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. You think of all those verses and all those references to Christ, without blemish, without spot, without sin, who knew no sin, who did no sin. And if a lamb without blemish was required to save the children of Israel from the judgment of God, where would such a lamb be found for us? And of course, that lamb is the Lord Jesus Christ. As we have looked at those verses, without blemish, without spot, without sin, did no sin, knew no sin, Christ is our Lamb, spotless Lamb, without blemish. Without blemish anywhere in Christ. Didn't Peter tell us that we are redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without spot and without blemish? Saved by the from the judgment of God to come by the blood of the Lamb. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Now what was Israel to do with that lamb? You read there in verse 5 again. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. So not only was it to be a spotless lamb, we see here it was to be a separated lamb, taken out from the sheep and from the goats. It was separated from the sheep and from the goats. You look carefully there. In verse 3, the Lord said, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb. Now look at verse 4. And if the household be too little for the lamb. So verse 3 says a lamb. Verse 4 says the lamb. Now look at verse 5. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep and from the goats. You think of that. A lamb, the lamb, your lamb. Now before we ever knew Christ, before we ever knew the Lord, he was only to us a lamb. Then when the Lord received us and saved us, he was most certainly the lamb. And from that hour that the Lord saved us, he's been our lamb. We can say, he's my lamb. Each Israelite, as they brought their lamb to the door, they could say, that's our lamb there. And so Christ, for us, is not only a lamb, but he's the lamb. And he is our lamb. We're told, ye shall take it out from the sheep and from the goat. So it's to be a separated lamb. The lamb was to be separated, just as Christ, our lamb, is a separated lamb. Because we read in Hebrews 7, verse 26, he who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. There's Christ our Lamb. He's holy, he's harmless, he's undefiled, and he's separate from sinners. That simply means he did not partake of their evil deeds. Remember, he did no sin. Neither was guile found in his mouth. He did no sin. Oh, he came to save sinners. He came because he loved sinners. But he's not a sinner himself. He was able to say, the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. The prince of this world, the devil, cometh and hath nothing in me. John 14 and verse 30. Yes, he was separated. He knew no sin. He did no sin. And yet, when he went to the cross to die for us, listen to this. He who was without blemish, without spot, knew no sin, did no sin, could not sin. Listen. He became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Our sins were laid upon him, and he became sin for us. And instead of you and I, believer, suffering the judgment of God, Christ suffered the judgment of God for us. Christ suffered the judgment of God on our behalf. And so, it was to be a spotless lamb, without blemish. To be a separated lamb, taken out from the sheep and the goats, as Christ lived a separated life. You notice also, it was to be a substitutionary lamb. Look there in verse 6. The chapter 12, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. That is, every family that made up the congregation of the children of Israel took a lamb, then it was the lamb, then it was your lamb. It was to take that lamb, and it was to be killed. And they were to take the blood of the lamb, and they were to strike it on the two lintels, and the lintel and the doorpost of the house, at the door of every home, at the door of every Israelite home. Remember that night? All the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, God said. But God had a plan, devised a plan, and for Israel to be saved. Then they would take a lamb, and instead of the firstborn among the Israelites dying, the lamb would die instead. The lamb would be a substitutionary lamb, just like our lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. How wonderfully Israel's lamb points Christ out to us. He is our substitute. Romans 5 and verse 6 we read, for when we were without Christ, without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For. That little word of just three letters. That little word for means instead of. For when we were without strength, in due time Christ died for us, or instead of us. Christ took our place. He's my substitute. He's our substitute, believer. He died for us instead of us. That is, we did not die and will not die under the judgment of God. The Lamb has died for us. God's judgment and indignation and wrath because of sin will not fall on thee or on you, believer, but it did fall on Christ. He's the substitutionary Lamb. Is taking our place. So we look at Israel's lamb, and of course it points us away to the Lord Jesus. Isn't it interesting? We read that the whole assembly of the children of Israel would take a lamb for each house. Now that would mean quite a few lambs. That would have meant quite a few lambs. And yet, is it interesting that God never uses the plural word lambs? The Lord never spoke to Moses about lambs, plural. Even though there were hundreds, maybe thousands of lambs used. But God never spoke about lambs, plural. He always spoke about a lamb, singular. The Lamb of God. There was only one lamb. And here in Exodus 12, as the Lord spoke about the whole assembly of the children of Israel taking for themselves, for each family, a lamb, God never spoke about lambs. He always emphasized a lamb. And here in the inspired word, you see how God is emphasizing and pointing us and putting us in the direction of the Lamb, Christ alone. Praise his name. We've considered the requirement of a lamb. We look now at the residence and the lamb. Moses delivered God's word to Israel regarding the lamb. Verse 3, they shall take to every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. So let's emphasize, a lamb for an house. And here the children of Israel were told, first of all, about the place. Told about the place. There was to be a lamb taken for every house of the children of Israel. And God said in verse 21, take ye a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. So you get the picture. They were to go and they were to choose a lamb and take that lamb out from the sheep and from the goats, and they were to bring it to their house. It was to be brought to their house, and the slaying or killing of the Passover lamb was to be carried out at the door of every Israelite home. That's what we have. We look again in verse 21. Then Moses called all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover, and ye shall take a bunch of hyssop. Well, they couldn't have done that except the lamb was there at the door. And that's why we have given the title to our message today, there is a lamb at the door. And the lamb was brought to the door of every Israelite home. And the lamb was slain at the door of the Israelite home. And then a bunch of hyssop was dipped into the blood that was in the basin, and the lintels and or the lintel and the side post were daubed with the blood. So all the house, you think of it, all in the house of every Israelite home would witness the killing of the lamb. They would all see that innocent lamb being killed at their front door of their home. And you would say, well, how could they ever forget that sight? How could they forget the sight of seeing an innocent lamb being put to death outside their own front door. But of course, God didn't want them to forget. They would not forget the sight of the blood flowing from the slain and innocent lamb. And as I said, that's it. God didn't want the children of Israel ever to forget that sight and what took place outside their front door. You look there in verse 24. And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever, and it shall come to pass when ye be come to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he hath promised, that ye shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass, when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? That ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed their head and worshipped. See? God didn't want Israel to forget what took place that night in Egypt. He didn't want them to forget the sight of an innocent lamb been slain and the blood of that lamb been shed. God doesn't want us to forget. Hence the table today. God doesn't want us to forget how his Son, the Lamb of God, was slain there on Calvary. You ever sit down and read particularly those words in Matthew 27, where when Pilate passed sentence on Christ, washed his hands of the whole affair, the Roman soldiers couldn't wait to get their hands on him. And we read there in verse 28, Romans 27, verse 28, and they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had planted the crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him, and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they spit upon him, and took the reed, and smote him on the head. As we pointed out before, the tense of that word is, they took the reed, and they smote him again and again and again and again. And after that, they had mocked him. They took the robe off from him, put his own raiment on him, and led him away to crucify him. In verse 35, and they crucified him, parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, they parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots, and sitting down they watched him there. I would recommend, as I have often done, to read those words in Matthew 27 and read them over and over and endeavor to put yourself there and be a witness to it all and see the dear Savior standing there alone, nobody with him, no friends, no family, no followers. They're surrounded by his foes. And look upon him and see what they did to him. How could we ever forget? And yet the fact that the Lord himself instituted the Lord's Supper indicated that we could very well forget, because the Lord said, "This do in remembrance of me." This do in remembrance of me. So we have the place. The lamb was brought to the door of the Israelites' home. We have then the precept. The children of Israel were told what they were to do with the blood of the lamb. Once again, the verse 22, "And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning." There's the precept. This is what Israel was to do. So all around the door, above the door, down the sides of the door, was the blood. You think of it. The blood was on the ground as well. So across the top, the lintel, then the two side posts, and the blood would be along the bottom of the door, because that's where the lamb was slain. It was slain at the front door. Look there at that word basin. "And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin." So you get the picture. The children of Israel have gone and chosen themselves a lamb, taken the lamb out from the sheep and the goats, and they brought it to their door. And there at the door of their home, the lamb has been slain. And the blood from the lamb was to be put into the basin. And then they were to take a bunch of hyssop and dip it into the basin, and then put the blood on the lintels, or the lintel and the two side posts. But if the blood of the lamb was slain at the front door, the blood was there at the step of the door. You take that word basin. That word basin in Judges 19 verse 27, the same word that we have here, basin, the same word in Judges 19:27 is there translated threshold. Threshold. Threshold of a door. In 2 Kings 12 and verse 9, the same word is translated door. So there you have the threshold of a door. And that's where the blood of the lamb was slain. Is it interesting? No direction is given by the Lord about putting the blood along the threshold of the door. But the fact that the word basin is used, which means threshold, tells us that's where the blood was as well. Because that's where the lamb was slain, at the front door. And think of this. We look there at the door of the children of the homes of the children of Israel. We see the Lamb. And the blood of the Lamb on the lintel, top, down the sides, and on the threshold. And you look away to our Lamb as he hung there on the cross, and the blood flowed from top. They crowned him with thorns. Down the side, his two hands and his feet. The top, the side, and the bottom. The whole door was circled by the blood. Now I know some have raised the objection or have said there was no blood put on the ground because you couldn't allow the children of Israel to step on the blood. But what did the Lord say? Verse 22 again. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin, and none shall go out at the door of the house until the morning. In other words, nobody would be trampling on the blood anyway. Once the blood was shed, it was on the lintel and on the side post and on the threshold of the door. Nobody would be out anyway. They were told not to go out. So nobody would be trampling underfoot the blood of the Lamb. And what were they to take to put the blood on the lintels and the side post? Hyssop. That takes us to Calvary again. For we read, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. John 19 and verse 29. And that took place there at the door of every Israelite home. And what happened there points us to Calvary and the saving work of God, the saving work of Christ. And the Lord said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the death angel came down the streets of Egypt and he saw the blood on the lintel, the side posts, and the threshold of every door. I tell you, those Israelites were safe. They were safer than if they had a bolt at those doors or barricaded themselves in. They were safer than any of that because of the blood. And there you have the place at the door, the precept, what they were to do with the blood, and then you have the purpose of the blood. God, through Moses, said to Israel, why all of this was to be done, why they were to do this. Verse 12, and I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. Against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you. There's the purpose of the blood. The plague shall not be upon you to destroy you. You'll not be destroyed, you'll be saved. and I smite the land of Egypt. And so upon seeing the blood, the dead angels would not, could not, not just would not, but could not enter the home of the Israelites because of the blood. The Lord said, when I see the blood, I will pass over. That's an interesting word. We know it refers to the angel of death passing over children of Israel. Would you ever stop to think, what does the word mean? The word Passover means to spread the wings over. To spread the wings over. Over in Isaiah, there's Isaiah, in the chapter 31, we see the meaning of the word there, Isaiah 31, and verse 5. 31 verse 5, as birds flying, so will the Lord of hosts defend Jerusalem. The birds flying. Birds fly, of course their wings are outstretched. The Lord says, as birds flying, the Lord of hosts shall defend Jerusalem. Defending also, he will deliver it, and passing over, he will preserve it. And so there you have a verse that gives us the meaning of the word Passover. Because the blood is on the lintels and the doorposts and the threshold of the doors of the homes of the Israelites, the Lord would pass over. He would put his wings, spread the wings over the Israelites. Psalm 17, verse 8. But the psalmist said, hide me under the shadow of thy wings. Hide me. Keep me safe. Under the shadow of thy wings. The psalmist again, Psalm 57, verse 1. In the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. Oh, isn't this a wonderful book? If you stop and consider these things, what a wonderful book we have. What a wonderful Savior we have. You think of it, believer. We're saved from the judgment to come by the blood of the Passover lamb. Now we can say with assurance, O spread thy covering wings around, till all our wanderings cease, and at our Father's blessed abode, our souls arrive in peace. One more thought. The children of Israel experienced a wonderful night that night. There was the place to be their home, their home, the door of their home. There was the precept, what they were to do with the blood. There was the purpose to save them. And then there's the peace. With the blood of the lamb on lintel and doorpost of every house of the Israelites, they were in, who were inside were safe. And being safe, may dwell in peace. And having made peace through the blood of this cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. Isn't that why we have peace? We have peace through the blood of the cross. The children of Israel had peace that night, when they no doubt could hear the weeping and the wailing of the Egyptians as they discovered the firstborn in every one of their homes had been slain. And yet, in every Israelite home, there was peace. No weeping, no wailing. Peace. How did they experience that peace? Why were they so peaceful that night? Because of the blood of the Lamb. Why do we have peace? He made peace for us through the shedding of his blood. Now we can sing, peace like a river is flooding my soul. Since Christ my Savior maketh me whole, sweet peace abiding, my portion shall be. Jesus my Savior is precious to me. Praise the Lord. Let's bow in prayer. O dear Lord, we bow humbly before thee. We thank thee, Lord, for the cross work of Christ. We thank thee for the blood that flowed so freely there. Wounded for me there on the cross. He was wounded for me. Gone my transgressions, and now I am free. All because Jesus was wounded for me. And Lord, we have seen today that this is something thou dost want us never to forget. What Christ did for us at Calvary. And how he bought peace for us through the shedding of his blood. And even, Lord, as we come to the table in a little while, bring the scenes of Calvary before us. And may we do these things, Lord, in remembrance of thee. Bless. Keep thy hand upon all and those, Lord, who are unable to stay from the table. Pray thy blessing will go with them. And those who remain, Lord, draw very near. And give us thankful hearts today for all that Christ did for us, shedding his blood as our substitutionary sacrifice. In his dear name we pray. Amen.